Amen. Praise the Lord for that special there. What a tremendous blessing. Great message and song and how we can trust our Lord. Amen. And just trust the words of God and just do what He says to do and receive the promises that are associated with those things. What a blessing. Well, if you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 22. 1 Samuel chapter 22. We're going to be reading an event in the life of King David. And David, this is actually before David was king of Israel, but God worked through the life of David, and we have all this recorded for us to learn a lot of biblical principles, and that's what the Old Testament's there for us, to learn of the stories, and what a blessing it is. And I believe that God has a message for us out of this event in the life of David. And so if you'll stand with me, we're going to be reading, starting in verse 17, and we'll read down to verse 23. This is when David's running from King Saul. Saul wants to kill David, and there's a lot of things that Saul does. He's filled with an evil spirit at this particular time. And so let's start reading here in verse 17. The Bible says, "And the king said unto the footmen that stood about him, Turn and slay the priests of the Lord, because their hand also is with David, and because they knew when he fled and did not show it to me. But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priests of the Lord. And the king said to Doeg, Turn now and fall upon the priest. And Doeg the Edomite turned and fell upon the priest and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod. And Nob, the city of the priest, smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and suckling, and oxen and asses and sheep with the edge of the sword. And one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ithtub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priests. And David said unto Abiathar, I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there that he would surely tell Saul. I want you to underline this. I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. Abide thou with me, fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard. I have occasioned the death of all. And let's pray. Our Father, as we bow before you this morning, we thank you, Lord, for this another opportunity to assemble ourselves together. Thank you for all that are here that have taken advantage of this opportunity to be in church. And I just pray, God, that you would work in our midst as you do every time we assemble, and that you would work in such a way that each one would be able to hear exactly what they have need to hear. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. David receives word that Saul has killed 85 priests and their families. And after he hears of this evil event that took place, he realizes, and he says, I have occasioned the death of all. If you will, David's saying, it's because of my sin. I'd like to preach a message to you this morning as we'll study this passage of Scripture on sin enables evil. Sin, no matter whose sin it is, it's sin that enables evil. So as we look at the story here, when David is only a frightened young man, just doing the will of God, trying to serve under Saul, and Saul has the evil spirit, and the evil spirit convinces Saul that David wants to become king, and he wants to take his place. And out of this revenge and out of this fear and all the things that filled the mind and the heart of Saul, Then Saul yields to this evil spirit and he wants to kill David. Well, a lot of things took place in that, but now David understands that Saul is definitely going to kill him. He can no longer stay. And so David runs. He leaves Saul and the kingdom, and yet this is before David had his 400 mighty men. He was by himself somewhat. And as he leaves with maybe just a handful of those that were with him, he began running from King Saul. And running from King Saul, he comes upon the priest in the city of Nob. And he knows that he needs some assistance. And so we find here that David lies to the priest. He tells the priest that he's on a mission sent from Saul. And so as he tells them that, then the priests are a little bit leery, but they go ahead and assist David. And David actually goes and he gets the bread from the altar, and they has to have certain conditions for that. He ends up getting the sword of Goliath that was there in the priest city. And so he takes this support of the priests and he leaves. Now, if you want to read that and mark that down, it's 1 Samuel chapter 21, verses 1 to 10. We'll not take the time, but that's exactly what's taking place here. Well, Saul hears of the priest's support, and Doeg was there. He's an Edomite, and he adds to and actually lies to Saul about the priests supporting David, knowing what David was doing. He didn't tell Saul that David actually deceived the priests. He's just presenting that the priests were in support of David. And so Saul hears of their support and has them all killed. It was such an evil deed that none of the soldiers of Israel, because they understood these are the priests of the Lord, all of them would have had convictions about killing the priests of God, and so none of them would obey the voice of King Saul. But the Edomite takes a sword and he kills 85 priests of the Lord. And not only did he kill 85 priests of the Lord, but he totally annihilates in the city the families and their possessions. All this came to David. David, as soon as he hears it, he thinks back to that situation in his life. He thinks back to what he was thinking when he was running and just looking to find support and was fearful of King Saul killing him. And he realizes that because of his deceit and his lies and gaining the support of the priest, that his sin gave occasion for Saul to do what he did. Now, as we're looking at this, he was not excusing Saul. There's no excuse for sin. None. You've heard me say quite often, it's a true statement, there's always reasons why people do what they do, but there's never an excuse for wrong behavior. So don't look for an excuse to sin, and don't look for an excuse for wrong behavior. There are none. But David is not excusing Saul's sin, but what David is doing is acknowledging that he had a part, that his sin gave occasion, or if you will, enabled this evil deed. Thus sin enables evil. As we understand that even today, that same principle, that same truth is something that we need to get a hold of, because our sin, whatever sin it is, can I tell you, it enables evil. We don't ever know just how it's going to impact others. We don't know how Satan's going to use it, but sin, okay, enables Satan to work his evil today. Sin is anything that is in opposition to God's will. Some people look and say, well, what is sin? Is this sin? Is that sin? Well, sin is not determined by humanity. Sin is determined by Almighty God. To go opposite God's will, to do something that God says not to do, or not to do something that God says to do, listen to me, it's opposite God's will, and that is sin. Satan is the author of sin. He's the author of it. If you look and read chapter 14 of Isaiah, it reveals the self-will of Satan that caused him to sin against God and to be cast out of heaven and to become Lucifer, the devil. So Satan is the author of sin. In Romans in chapter 5 and verse 12, it reveals to us that Adam passed it on to all mankind. Adam was not created to sin. Adam was not created with a sin nature. Adam was created in the image and likeness of God, which is righteousness and holiness. But Adam was created in God's image. He would have a choice. And when Satan was able to introduce sin to Adam and get him to go opposite God's will, after God had told Adam, Adam knew God's will. He was not to partake of that fruit. And what we find is Satan now is able to take this and use this to deceive Adam through Eve. And Adam commits a sin, the first sin of humanity. And because of Adam's sin, he incurred a sin nature. And with this sin nature, it has been passed down to all humanity. And that's what Romans in chapter 5 and verse 12 tells us, that all of us are born with a sin nature. Satan being the author of sin, Adam being the one to pass it down to all humanity. Sin, as you study it and you look in the Bible, sin is used to describe the fallen condition of man. Sinner. Of which all of us are. The fallen condition of man, because I have a sin nature, I have an old nature, before I am saved, I am a lost sinner, bound for a place of eternal damnation, which is called hell. If I receive Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, then I have been given eternal life. I have been given this, and we studied this in Sunday school. We have been given things from God. We have been given the very grace of God. We have been given this power from God. We have been given the peace from God. We have been given eternal life. That is something that God gives to all of those who would receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're saved, you have been given all these things. But can I tell you what that makes you? It makes you a saved sinner. Because as long as we're in this tabernacle or this physical body, we have a sin nature, and that sin nature defines us as sinners. Everyone here this morning, you're either a saved sinner or you're a lost sinner. That means that even though I'm saved, I can continue to sin if I choose to sin. I cannot do it the same as I did before without conviction, without an awareness of it being sin, because I have the Holy Spirit of God within me convicting me, and I have God as a heavenly Father who will bring chastisement upon His children. His children are those who have been saved. You become a child of God's. You're born into the family of God, a new birth. Adopted, if you will, the Bible uses that term, adopted into the family of God. But you still have a sin nature. And you're still vulnerable to sin. And sin is what enables evil. Satan has devices of which we are not ignorant of. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, you write that down, it says that Satan has devices, but we are aware of how Satan works. Jesus said that he is the father of all lies. He is a master deceiver. He works to blind the minds of men to the truths of God. There's no truth in him. He's a liar from the very beginning. He's a liar. He cannot tell the truth. He can present himself as an angel of light, making people think that he is presenting truth, making people think that that's the way to go. These are the things that we need to apply to our lives. He can present himself as an angel of light. Possibly that is religion. trying to get people to think as long as I'm religious, that's all I need to be. And people don't need religion. People need Jesus Christ. Religion's never saved anybody. Only the blood of Christ saves. But Satan, as that deceiver, is able to blind the minds of humanity to the things of God. His devices designed to lead man to sin. Because as man sins, this enables evil. Wow. Now that just basic truths. Basic truths as we study and understand the Bible. Now, if we will, let's look back to this story and understand some biblical principles established by that basic truth. First of all, we find here that verse 22, and David said unto Abiathar, I knew it that day when Doeg, was the Edomite, was there, that he would surely tell Saul. David was aware of his sin when he lied to the priests. There is a difference. There's a difference between being ignorant of sin and being aware of sin. In our law, judicial system, there's a difference between premeditated murder and manslaughter. Manslaughter, I mean, there's still, you killed somebody, but there was circumstances. Manslaughter does not carry the same degree of punishment because it really wasn't what you set out to do. You might have been drunk, and being drunk, it's what caused you to have that accident. It's what caused you to run over somebody, to kill somebody, but it was not premeditated. If it's premeditated murder, that carries a stiffer penalty. David was aware of his sin when he lied to the priests. He knew what he was doing was wrong. Can I tell you that sin is sin? But we have a righteous God who judges all sin. Ignorance is no excuse, but ignorance does come into play. How it comes into play in every situation, circumstances of life, listen to me, I'm glad I'm not the judge that has to determine that. But Almighty God is the judge. And He will determine how that impacts our lives. In Acts in chapter 17, you can write it down, read it with me, but Acts in chapter 17, I want you to see something here. Acts 17, verse 30. We find here that the Bible records some things about the Old Testament not being exactly what God wanted it to be. And the New Testament, we have more accountability because Jesus Christ brought full revelation and understanding of the Old Testament law to light when He established Christianity and He established His church. But there in the Old Testament, the Bible says about some of these things, verse 30, it says this, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. As I looked at that, we find that there are certain things in the Old Testament that they did not have the full understanding of. When it comes to multiple wives, Jesus revealed that it was God's will from the very beginning that there'd be one man for one woman and one woman for one man. But yet we find in the Old Testament that they had men would have more than one wives. Now, I don't know what the judgment will be for that and how God, but it says in their ignorance, God allowed it, but it was never His will. Amen? And so we find, but He says, now that you have been given the insight and you've been given the revelation through the Lord Jesus Christ and understanding the full knowledge of God today in this New Testament church age, we have an opportunity to understand the full knowledge of God, to understand exactly what God wants us to understand about life, past, present, and future. But ignorance comes into play. And I could tell you, even Paul said what he did before he got saved, he did out of ignorance. And yet God allowed him to become an apostle. And he did it because what he did before He didn't realize that he was persecuting the church of Christ. And his heart and his mind totally surrendered, and God allowed him and used him mightily. Again, I'm not here, and the message is not here to give us insight into whether I'm going to be guilty of this by ignorance and how this is going to come into effect. I'm just saying that this idea of sin enables evil. The sins of the lost allow evil to flourish in society. Most do not see it as sin. Abortion is sin. Not based on philosophy or humanistic reasoning, based on what the Bible says. Based on the very words of God, abortion is sin. But I guarantee you, most people who get abortions do not see it as sin. And because they do not see it as sin, they rally the fact, and they go out and they have these rallies, and they try to persuade others in the world to believe that it's all right to murder innocent unborn children. None of them seeing it as sin. They're not looking at it as sin. They're seeing this as something that Satan has blinded them to as women's rights. Women have always had rights. I know over the years the different things, but in God's eyes, God is no respecter of persons. God is no respecter of persons when it comes to a man. He does not think more highly of a man than he does a woman. He does not think more highly of a woman than he does a man. He's given them different positions, and he has developed them for that position. Amen? He has designed a woman to fulfill the role of a woman. He's designed a man to fulfill the role of a man. How can anyone be ignorant to that thought? There's a reason that God created you a woman and a man, and why he established as a family, because outside of that, there are no way the human race will continue on. It takes a man and a woman to reproduce life. But sin, whether it is understood or not, enables evil. And the more people that are blinded to God and are persuaded by the devil that this is just simply a matter of opinion, it's a matter of philosophy, and the more they give into that, listen to me, the world becomes a more evil place to live. The sin of the lost allow evil to flourish in society. The reason you're seeing America going down the tubes when it comes to morality is because sin enables evil to flourish. Genesis chapter 6, God's given us a little insight in the old world. In the old world, we find that humanity started turning away from God, and the children of Seth, which are those that would call upon God, started marrying the children of Cain, who were atheists, that were raised not to believe in God. And for you know it now, because of the intermarriages from those that believed in God to those that did not believe in God, those that did not believe in God started overpowering those that believed in God, and mankind stopped calling upon the name of the Lord, to where mankind continued to sin and evil continued to flourish, at the point when God destroyed the world with the flood, there was only one family remaining on earth at that time that was righteous in his thinking, and that was Noah. And look what the Bible says. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, because he kept sinning. And when he kept sinning, it enabled evil and Satan to control the world. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And God destroyed the world with the flood. Well, we're getting back to the very same mentality. And we find that society is becoming more evil because there's more sin taking place. The sins of the lost allow evil to flourish in society. The willful sins of the saved give occasion for Satan to work against the cause of Christ. It's not the sins of the lost that are hindering the cause of Christ going forward. It's not the sins of the lost that are hindering the church from reaching the world with the gospel and obeying the great commission that God has given to us. It's not the sins of the lost. It's the sins of the saved. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 8 and verse 12, let me just share a couple thoughts here. Understanding this, that we actually sin against Christ. The lost are not sinning against Christ. They're ignorant. They don't believe in Christ. They don't believe in holiness. They do not believe in the Bible. It's the believer that now has this new nature that he knows. And yet allow Satan to blind him and allow Satan to lead him to sin. And when a believer sins, he sins against the cause of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12. But when you sin, so against the brethren, and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. You sin against Christ. In the book of Hebrews, in chapter 6, I just want you to understand this. Sin enables evil. It's the sins of the world that enable the world to become more and more evil. It's the sins of the believer that hinder the cause of Christ. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 6, it says this. If they shall fall away, to renew them again into repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. Listen to me, if you're saved here this morning, even though you have a sin nature and you can continue to sin, your sin is doing more damage than what you realize. Your sin is enabling Satan to work against the cause of Christ. Your sin will do more than what the lost man's sin will do. Your sin is being used more than what you even realize. And once you understand the impact that your sin is going to have on the cause of Christ, you're going to be like where David was and realizing, I occasioned this. My sin will ever be before me. So David was aware of his sin. And he did it anyway. Can I tell you, if you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God will make you aware of that sin. You cannot sin outside of the Holy Spirit of God trying to convict you, trying to persuade you, trying to help you to realize, don't do it. Don't do it. It's that Holy Spirit. Now you can block it out. Because you still have a free will. And your sin nature, old nature is still there. And your old nature can drown out the influence of the new nature. Especially if you're just recently saved. If you've not grown in your spirituality. Sometimes you're not even aware of what it is. You're not even aware it's the Spirit of God bearing witness with your spirit. Trying to help you to keep you from committing sins against Christ. The one who saved you. And yet we're crucifying Christ afresh every time we, as a believer, yield to sin. David knew it. Did it anyway. Possibly blocking out of his mind the consequences that would follow. Maybe thought he got by with it until he gets a message. He got the message that 85 priests and their families had been slain. And his sin enabled or gave occasion for that sin to take place. David was confronted by the horrible consequences of his sin. Verse 21, back in our text. Chapter 22 and verse 21. And Abiathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priests. It all came back to him. He remembered, I seen Doeg there, and I knew that he would tell, and I knew that Saul would find out about this. But he went against the conviction, he went against the understanding, and he said, I want what I want. I want the support. I want the sword. I want the provisions. Never thought about the consequences. It was not a sin of ignorance. He knew of the possibilities and did it anyway. When I think about that, I wonder in our lives, what occasion has our sin enabled? Sin enables evil. I wonder, just looking back over my life, when I committed sins, I might not understand how they enabled certain things, but I know that every sin that we commit enables Satan to get a victory in evil. And I don't wonder how he might have used that to keep somebody else from trusting Jesus Christ, because I was supposed to be a Christian. And they saw what I did and said, if that's what Christianity is, I don't need it. Kept that person from ever being saved. I wonder just what kind of occasion have provided Satan to allow evil to flourish when it comes to our marriages. God's will is that a marriage will be for a lifetime. Divorce is inevitable because it takes two people to remain married and to have the right relationship. If one person wants a divorce, no matter how hard the other person tries to keep it from happening, one person cannot maintain a marriage indefinitely, and there will be a divorce. But the one person that decided, I want a divorce, whether it be because I found somebody else, or whether it be because of other types of lust of the flesh, or lust of the eyes, or the pride of life, just wanting something to change, something different, listen to me, that has impacted more than what you realize. The person that you divorced forced that person to have to live outside the perfect will of God with the same spouse for life. Whether they chose to or not, your sin impacted and gave occasion for Satan to bring evil into that life. As a parent raising children, God says the most important work that a parent will do is to raise children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I think back and I wonder, did I always have the right type of testimony before my children? Did I raise my children as God would have me to raise them? And if I did not, did that give occasion for Satan to work in their lives, to get them to choose something different? Because evil, sin, enables evil. Now, they'll give an account. They can't. No child is going to be able to stand before God and say, God, I did it only because it was my parents. They failed to raise me right. They failed to give me the right example. You'll never do that because everyone will give an account of themselves. You're never going to stand before God and give an account for anybody else, but you will give an account for your part. What you were able to control and the sins that you've committed. Now, praise the Lord, salvation cleanses. That's washed away. After salvation, we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, give an account for the things we've done, good or bad. But sin enables evil. Churches. Can I tell you that churches have been impacted by individuals who have sinned and maybe continue to sin in the same local body? The sin of talking bad about leadership. The sin of not loving one another. The sin of gossip. The sin of taking up this group to go against this group. And sin enables evil. And evil will love to destroy churches. Evil would love to destroy relationships. Satan would love to use evil to destroy so much. And the only way he's able to do that is through sin of individuals. Can I tell you, if you're saved, there'll be a conviction. When the conviction comes over you, don't suppress it. Don't say, I understand it, but I want revenge, and I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm going to say what I want to say. I want my will and not God's will, and you go on and you can have it. But there will be consequences to follow. What occasion has our sin enabled? Now, the last thing here this morning, you might be asking, why this message? Trying to make me feel bad about my past sins? Trying to make me feel guilty? That's not it at all. What did David do? David clearly, the first thing he does when he gets the news, he acknowledges, I'm somewhat at fault. Not excusing Saul, but if I had not have lied and deceived, Saul would not have had the occasion to do what he did. Can I tell you that acknowledging sin and how it allowed evil to prosper in our past ought to be a constant reminder to us, I'll never let that happen again. Amen. David would write in Psalms in chapter 51 in verse 3, I acknowledge my sin, and my sin is ever before me, and it is. You have the remembrance of your sin, and Satan can bring that back up anytime he pleases. Why? Because you have given him that ammunition to work against you. And every sin that we have committed is stored in our brains. It's stored in the subconscious. And you've given access to the devil to take that and bring back up those very same thoughts, to bring back up those very same feelings, to bring back up those very same temptations. And he wants to use it over and over again. But you see, if we're aware of it, we'll say, I acknowledge it, but I'm going to make sure that I never do that again. Amen. I will not let Satan use my sin to enable evil and to hinder, especially as a believer, the cause of Christ. He acknowledges his sin. And then I love what he does next in verse 23, if you read there with me. He says, abide thou with me. Fear not. For he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard. He granted protection for the only survivor of the massacre. He couldn't do anything to go back and undo the massacre. You can't go back and undo what your sin did to somebody else. You've moved on. The past is past. There's things that we'd love to go back and be able to change if we could. You cannot. Acknowledge them. Learn from them. Because of that, determine never to do it again. And then look to see what you can do that would help the cause of Christ. Amen. Only one survived the massacre. And David says, I can't bring anybody else back to life, but I can provide for this one. and you can stay here, and I'll protect you for the rest of your life. David would use it for motivation to do more for God and to be the righteous king that David would become. The righteous king that God knew was in David's heart. Because David would be known as the man after God's own heart. And when he became king, he brought righteousness back to Israel. Amen. Sin enables evil. Can't do anything about the lost sin. We can't. Their sin is going to create more evil in society. But what's more important than the lost continuing to be blinded and to commit these sins against God and humanity? Believers, we know the truth. We have access to the knowledge. Make a commitment today. I will not allow my sin to be used by Satan to produce more evil. I'm going to determine to live for Christ. That is the message. That is the encouragement. That's what we find David has given himself to. He becomes the most righteous king ever to lead the nation of Israel. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. My goodness. We understand where sin comes from. We understand just what it does. If you keep that in mind, then you're never going to want to let Satan use your sin. It will encourage you to live as God would have you to live and to do all that God would have us to do. To see more of the lost saved so they will have a different outlook on how to live their lives. Don't allow your sin to give occasion for others to be deceived and blinded. Father, we bow before you now. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in church. Thank you for meeting with us. And God, for this passage of Scripture in the life of David. And what David acknowledged is something that all of us need to realize. Our sin is ever before us as well. Help this message to motivate us to have a desire not to sin, but to live and accomplish things that you would have us to accomplish. I pray right now, Father, for that one that's here that might be lost. And if their eyes were to close in death today, they would go into an eternal lake of fire. Go to an eternal place, a void of Almighty God, never having another opportunity to be saved. And I pray, God, that today that they would come to that understanding and they would come and do what you tell them that they need to do to be saved. There's a Christian here that's in a backslidden condition. God, I pray that you would help them to see just how Satan would use their lives and they would repent today and come back home to thee. Work in our midst. We give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen.